Hallelujah. We are in class 24, the last class of Watchman School of Prayer, and it is called End Time Watchman Prayer, Israel and the Nations. Israel and the Nations. And this is probably one of my favorite classes, and if I could, we would have to spend 10 classes on it, but we have only one. Hallelujah. So we will try to get in as much as the Holy Spirit will allow us to. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles to Luke 21. Luke 21. Now, as a watchman, we must be aware of the signs that show us what is happening in the end times. And we are in the end times. So, we're going to look here at this chapter, and we're going to see some of the signs, and we will relate to it today in some of the instances briefly. And in Luke 21, and in verse 8, I mean, the disciples were asking him, what shall be the signs of the end? And he says in verse 8, this is the Yeshua speaking, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am the Messiah, and the time drawing near, go ye not therefore after them. Now, one of the first signs that you have to watch for, and it's already been out for hundreds of years already, thousands even, is deception. Deception. That is a key sign of the end times. And we have had many false prophets. I mean, we go back and we have Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, Reverend Moon. We recently had David Koresh, and we've even in the rabbinical area, in the Jewish area, we've had rabbis that have said that they believe they're the Messiah. Rabbi Schneerson, they thought, is going to be raised from the dead in Brooklyn. And so deception in people believing that these people are the Messiah, all right? Now, this is one of the things that Yeshua is warning us about, is deception. Now, deception can come not just in the fact that somebody's a Messiah, but deception in false teaching. Deception in the way that you perceive the Word of God. You don't rightly divide it correctly. Deception can come any kind of way. How do you avoid deception in your own individual life? Well, I'm going to give you 4 points, and there's probably more, how to avoid deception. Number one, stay on fire for God. Very simple. Stay on fire for the Lord. Love the Lord. Just be on fire for God, okay? Spend time with Him every day. I keep saying that over and over. Don't put anything or anyone else in front of God. Nothing. No one. Not your career, not anything. If you do that, that is one area that you will avoid deception, because as you're in the Word and you're with God, He will show you things that are not right. Number two, you have to cling and love the Word of God. I know it's similar to one, but being on fire is a little different, because being on fire means you're out, going to be with God. Loving the Word of God, it's just like the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, you know, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivot Malchuto Le'olam Vayed, blessed be His holy name forever and ever. The Lord our God, hear, O Israel, is one God. Then it goes on to say, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Everything you have, your money, your heart, everything. When you love the Lord your God like that, you have a desire for the Word, and therefore it avoids deception. Number three is love for the Holy Spirit. Love for the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. You have to be a lover of truth. A lover of truth. Now, I'm not giving you scriptures to this, because there's tons of scriptures. Number four, a love for one another, for your brethren in the Lord, and obeying your leadership. Now, how does that avoid deception? Well, it talks about it very clearly. We've studied it, and you can write it down. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 talks about not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, warning one another. Hebrews 13, 17, we've studied this, talks about obeying your spiritual leaders in the Lord, because they are looking out for your soul. And when that happens, you avoid deception. A lot of people don't want that because, well, that means my life has to be under their control. No. You're just yielding, submitting yourself to the authority God's placed over you, and you avoid deception that way. So, the first thing Yeshua told us is about deception. All right, let's go on. Verse 9 of chapter 21 of Luke. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. The second area of end time sign is wars and rumors of wars. Now, we all know that that's been going on now for quite some time. Amen? So there's a second sign. Okay? Verse 10. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Now that's all part of the wars and rumors of wars. Because what are nations? Those are people groups. Ethnic groups. Nation means ethnic group. Okay, different type of nationality. And we have seen wars all over the place. Not just Israel, but all over the world we've had that. I mean, it happens. We've had it in Ireland. We've had it in India. I mean, we've had it in Asia. In Russia, it goes on and on and on. We've had it in America. Amen? So we have seen this. So this is the wars and rumors of wars. Verse 11, okay? And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Now, in this verse, we actually have three different signs. The third sign is earthquakes. You see that. And we have had many earthquakes and big ones in many parts of the earth. Amen? We know there's going to be the biggest earthquake. And I won't get into that. But in Zechariah 14:4, you can look at it yourself. Zechariah 14:4 actually is the earthquake when the Mount of Olives splits in two from east to west and the Lord returns. Hallelujah. So that's a good earthquake, okay? We also know that the Word of God says everything that needs to be shaken is going to be shaken. Talks about that in Hebrews. So there is earthquakes that's been happening in the spiritual realm. We have seen it in the body of Messiah. Big men of God have fallen. Recently, we've seen it even in the Catholic Church and so on and so forth. It goes on and on. Things are being shaken. Governments are being shaken. Big industry is being shaken. We've had a lot of scams going on in different types of industries. So things are being shaken. All right? And in this same verse, we see number 4, famine and pestilence in verse 11. What is famine and pestilence? Well, millions of people are starving all over the earth. Excuse me. Famine. No food. Pestilence. What is pestilence? Diseases. Contagious, infectious, epidemic diseases that spread quickly and have devastating results. The most recent that we know of is AIDS. There's many diseases. So we see also famine and pestilence, number 4, is another sign, okay? Number 5, it says about great signs from heaven. Fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Well, you know, there has been lunar eclipses. In fact, in 96, and I don't really remember recently in the last years because I haven't been up on this, but there has been sometimes 3 in 1 year, which occur, you know, they occur on the full moon, lunar eclipses. Those are signs in the heaven, changing signs, all right? Let's look at verse 12 of Luke 21. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now, this is talking about martyrdom. And actually, if you looked and studied, 11 of the 12 apostles were martyred. They were killed thousands of years ago. It's already happened. This is Yeshua giving them a sign, you know, and telling them don't have fear of death. Now, we've had a lot of martyring going on. There's Christians today, believers in Messiah, that are martyred for their faith in many parts of the world, especially when you go overseas into the Asian type countries or in Middle Eastern countries. If you're a believer in Messiah, you can get martyred very easily. And there will be martyring and there will be persecution of the Jews, and those that stand by the Jewish people need to be strong, because I don't know, they could be martyred also. We're going to talk about this at length in just a few minutes, about not martyring, but the Jewish people in Israel. So that's another area. Verse 16 of chapter 21. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Well, let me tell you that you can be betrayed exactly by your family members, all right? Your own family members can betray you because of your standing up for Messiah, or even for your standing up for the Jewish people and for Israel. They may not agree with you. There can be betrayal even within the body of Messiah. And I can tell you that even now today, and if you're watching or listening, there is much betrayal going on, and God is doing a plumb line, a dividing line in the spirit, in the body of Messiah. And what is the dividing line? It's Israel, my brothers and sisters. If you don't love Israel, I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. There is a dividing line in the body of Messiah right now. And there is sheep and goats, and God is splitting things up. And I've had many good friends of mine that I've preached with that no longer are my friend because I stand for Israel and the Jewish people, pastors, good leaders, because they don't believe in that. And so this has happened and is happening right now. So we have to see, that's another sign. Now, verse 24. Now this is talking about the Jewish people. They shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, I can get into this myself, but I found something that really says everything very concisely in a book that I have called Praying for the Peace of Jerusalem by Tom Hess, who lives in Jerusalem. He has written a number of books, and I want to read this to you, this page here, because it says it very simply, and this will explain this verse. This verse right here, and actually, let's see where I am here. Luke 21, and let me read, actually, I should not have read this verse, so hold on with me. That verse I'm going to get into a little more in depth in just a little while. It is a sign. Maybe I'll get into it right now. It is a sign, so let me maybe just talk to you about this right now. Basically, and then I'll look at some of the other verses in here. One of the signs here about the end times and talking about the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled is we have to understand that in 1967, Jerusalem was captured again, And the Israeli army went in and they got Jerusalem back because it was, at that time, part of Gentiles owned it, all right? The city of Jerusalem. We know that that Israel became a nation in 48. But the city of Jerusalem was not back into the hands of the Jewish people till 1967, okay? Now, it says here, of course, we know from thousands of years before that the Jews were led captive. They went into all the different nations. But then it says that until Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, we are still coming to the fruition of this. This was partially fulfilled in 67 when Jerusalem became under Jewish rule. At that time, more Jews came to the knowledge of Messiah in 67 than in all previous years put together. I mean, it's a powerful thing when you see that. I know I had something to read to you from this, and I want to just see. Yeah. The enemy does it gets me here. It's trying. I bind that in Jesus' name. I'm going to get what I got to get out. Amen. This has to do with Israel and the Jewish people. One of the things that we have to understand here is that the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled has to do with Romans chapter 11. In fact, let's go there real briefly and let's look at Romans chapter 11. Keep your finger in Luke 21. And in Romans 11 and in verse 25, it says, I would not, brethren, he's talking to Gentile believers, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, we are talking here about the same thing. You see, Yeshua was referring to it in Luke 21, as we just read. Now, the times here we were talking about has to do with 1967, when there was a road sign of Jewish people returning to Israel and to their God, and this is a sign, all right? And it's saying the fullness of the Gentiles, and part of that has to do with a recognition of not just Gentiles being saved, but the Gentiles coming into a full knowledge of their roots. Because Gentiles will be saved even after the rapture of the believers. They will be Gentiles saved. Gentiles will continue getting saved. So it's not going to just stop there. Some of you may not know about the end times, but some of you listening might. So the thing is, it can't just be that the Gentiles are going to stop getting saved. There has to be more to this scripture until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, part of that has to do with the preaching of the gospel to nations, which is happening now. That's why, and let's go further into back to Luke 21. And let's look at verse 29 with this. And it says, and he spoke to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. And when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, know you that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Now, what is this talking about? Well, I'm going to just read this briefly out of this book here. The fig tree symbolizes Israel. If you don't know that, that's what it symbolizes. And the other trees in verse 29, is the nations. Other people groups, Gentiles, okay? So we tie this in even with verse 24. The Lord told us that when the fig tree or Israel and all the other trees blossom, the end is near. Blossoming means that the tree is bursting into flower because the dormant time of winter is over. Springtime represents the fulfillment of the promise. In 1967, three things happened to indicate the approach of the end times. God opened a fountain upon the Jews, and the Jews started to come to faith in Yeshua. I mentioned that to you. And for the first time in history, Jerusalem came under Jewish rule and became the capital of Israel. Just like the wall in Berlin later came down, so did the wall in Jerusalem during Israel's Six-Day War. As the Jewish people flocked to the Wailing Wall to pray, God began to pour out His Spirit and reveal the Messiah to them. God also unleashed a mighty move of the Holy Spirit in that era into the body of Messiah. If you don't know, we had something that was called the Jesus Movement during those days. And there were many hippies that got saved. Also, there was a move of the Spirit upon the Catholic Church, and you had the Catholic Charismatic Movement. See, when something happens in Israel, something happens simultaneously in the church. So that's a key sign to watch. At that time, in 67, there was barely 100 native Israeli believers in Israel. In other words, there was only 100 believers in Yeshua in 67. A few thousand worldwide. In the year 2000, there were approximately 300,000 messianic believers in Israel and in the world. I'm one of them. Amen? Amen. And look what's happened. From 67, and now we're in 2002 as we're filming this, so there's more. Some say that the number may be greater. These believers are blossoms on the fig tree. We just read about it. A fulfillment of God's promise. They are like a small breeze beginning to build, which will climax in a strong wind, completely lifting the veil off of the eyes of Israel as they come to their Messiah. All right, because it's going to happen. It says all Israel will be saved. We just read that in Romans, right? For the one whom they have pierced, and they're going to see that. And that's a scripture I just quoted of Zechariah 12:10. Now, it is estimated that more Gentiles have received the Messiah, listen to this, since 1967, than in all the history since the time of Jesus Yeshua's birth. More Gentiles have received the Messiah since 1967, since Jesus was born. As the wave of salvation of Gentiles reaches its peak and the wild olive branches are fully grafted into the olive tree, the natural olive branches, the Jews, will also be fully grafted back into their own olive tree. And according to Luke 21:32, let's look at that. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Now we are living in this generation. So if this is true, then we are in the generation that will see it fulfilled. Amen? We are in that generation. Now quickly just go to Matthew 24 and in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. That's another sign, okay? That's another sign of the gospel being preached in all the nations, okay? Then the end will come. Now, we know that Jesus is coming back when the gospel of the kingdom is preached to the nations, all right, of the world. And in this time in history, there are no nations where people have not heard the gospel. The word of God is going forth in places where in 67 there were no believers. I mean, like Mongolia, Libya, Afghanistan, Kazakhstan. I mean, I can't even pronounce some of these places, all right? And so we're looking at that. All the ethnic groups. So we have to see the sign of the times that we are living in. And so this is a key sign, this times of the Gentiles to be fulfilled, and the fact of watching the tree, the fig tree, which is Israel. And we're going to talk about Israel a little more in a few minutes. Now, the next sign, let's look at verse 25, go back to Luke 21. And in Luke 21, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, this has to do with hurricanes and floods. I mean, we all have seen hurricanes and floods, and we've seen distress of nations, confusion. Amen? And there's been lots of hurricanes. I don't have time. I have them listed. But I tell you, I took my aunt, God bless her, she's gone on to be with the Lord, but I took her out of one of the worst hurricanes that was in South Florida. I went down there and kind of rescued her a couple of years back. And so I know that this is true. Now in verse 26, terror, apprehension, and fears. Well, we know we're living in this. Okay, and this scripture has really, really come to life since September 11th, 2001, when we had the attack on the World Trade Center in America. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So there's been an increase in terrorist attacks, bombs and planes. And need I say, you know, not just the World Trade Center, but the Israeli bombings and so on and so forth. So this is all happening. And men fearing, not just for the terrorist attacks, but for the economy, for the stock market. Something might happen and the world system might cave in. Amen? So these are some of the signs that Yeshua told us are in the end times. We're in them. We're in them. Now let's go to Isaiah 62. And in this next section, I want to talk to you in this about watchmen with a heart for Israel. I know we're talking about Israel and the nations. And yes, we need to be praying for nations, ethnic groups, every ethnic group to come to the knowledge of Yeshua. If there's any left, we need to believe that they're not going to be left. And God will send out the laborers to go to them. Amen? And as you reach your neighbor, you are a watchman for the nation, and you are helping fulfill the scripture of the fulfillment of the Gentiles. Amen? Now in Isaiah 62, let's look at in verse 1. To get there, hallelujah. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation as a lamp that burns. And the Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. You shall no more be termed forsaken. It's talking about Israel, Jerusalem, Jewish people. Neither shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah. And actually that word here means, it means my delight. You shall be called my delight. God is calling the land his delight. Or his people, rather. You shall be called, the people shall be called his delight, and the land, Beulah, and that means married. All right? Beulah means married. So he's calling the land and the people, my people, and I'm married to you. He's saying, you shall be called that. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bridegroom, so shall thy God rejoice over you. I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now, if you are a watchman that are watching or listening or sitting here in class, verse 6 and 7 is a key for you. You are these watchmen. You are the Gentile watchmen. And if you're Jewish, you're a watchman too. You are a watchman. And it says here that you are not going to keep silent day or night. You will not give God rest till what? Till he establish and make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That means you have to keep praying for Israel, for Jerusalem. God is not going to rest or be satisfied until Jerusalem is saved, restored, fulfilled in righteousness. Amen? God has obligated himself to do that. And it says the Gentiles, the nations, will see it. Now, back there, when they had setting watchmen on the walls, it was an ancient custom. Because there was walls, if you ever go to Israel, you will see walls. And there were watchmen that sat on top of the walls for the purpose of warning of the approach of an enemy. Okay? Now, what are we here doing today? God has told us to set up the ambushes. So as we pray for Israel and Jerusalem, as you intercede, in the middle of the night, God can wake you up because you might feel something going on over there, and you begin to pray in the Spirit, and you pray for Israel. You don't even have to know what's going on. But the Spirit of God can quicken that to you as a watchman. There is no distance in the Spirit. Now, there are 700 scriptures that say that the Jewish people need to go back to Israel. It's in the Word of God. 700 scriptures. He's not calling the Italians back to Italy, all right? He is calling the Jewish people back to Israel. There's a reason for it. Why are there 700 scriptures? I mean, if God's doing that, because God has a unique work, something that to do. And he has something for us to do as watchmen. Go to Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah 16, and we're going to look at verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord lives that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north. That's Russia, okay? And from all the lands where he has driven them, he's bringing them back. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Verse 16. Behold, I will send for many fishers, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, and out of the holds of the rock. Now, this is a key verse because this is a warning. Fishers are the good guys. Hunters are the bad guys. All right? And we had this even in World War II. In World War II, before Hitler came into full power, there were fishers, people that went into the nations in Germany. I know because my family comes from there, and said, get out of Germany. You need to get out because the Nazis are going to try to destroy you. And they didn't leave because of their business, their money, and many were killed. I even have family members that were killed in the Holocaust. There were fishers. Fishers are people that warn, that love the Jewish people, pray for them. And then the hunters come to destroy, all right? And so we have to understand that this is something that actually is happening today. In Russia, it's already happening. And we don't know. It could happen in any nation, including America, if we are not watchful. That's why we are to be watchmen on the wall for God's people. Amen? I wanted to read this to you. This is out of the book called The Watchmen. And it says here, during Passover, the Jewish people for thousands of years have remembered the exodus from Egypt. We all know that, okay? In Jeremiah 16, we see that the exodus from the north and other nations will be much greater than the exodus from Egypt. The Jewish people will forget the exodus from Egypt because the exodus from the north, that's from the land of Russia, will be so much greater. We've already seen some of that, but there's going to be more. This will be very significant. God opened the Red Sea and 3 million Jewish people came out of Egypt. None were left behind and the land of Israel was born. So you think, well, what could be more significant than that? But we know that Yeshua said, he said this in Matthew 23:39, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, the Lord speaks of how he's going to gather his people from all over the nations back to Israel. How they will, you know, almost like bones will come to life. Amen? He will put flesh on them. He will breathe on them. And so there is a small number of Jewish people that are turning to the Lord, the nations of the world, but more are turning, and today we see the more turning. There's been a lot more since this book has been written, all right? But basically, the first Jewish people back in the land of Israel will receive their... First, when the Jewish people, rather, are back in Israel, they will receive the Messiah. So they're not going to receive Yeshua, Jesus, until they're back there. That's one of the key things that we as believers in the body of Messiah have to understand. That when we say we're preparing the way of the Lord, well, one of the key things of preparing the way of the Lord is praying for the Jewish people that their heart turn back to their Messiah and that they have a desire to go back to their land. Because that is what Scripture says needs to be fulfilled. God's word needs to be fulfilled. So we have to pray into the purposes of God. And that's one of the many purposes of God. Let's look at Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. It says in verse 14 and 15, I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land. And they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, says the Lord your God. So there you see a promise. But one of the things we also need to know, and if you are watching or listening and you are in Europe, I can tell you that there's great anti-Semitism that has risen there. And fishers are needed greatly in Europe, maybe even more so than in America. In America, we need them too, to warn the people there, to pray for them before it gets worse. I mean, we don't know what could arise over there. Anything is possible. So that is one of the things that God calls us to do in our watching. We know our theme in Jeremiah 51:12, it says to be watchmen, to set up the ambushes. We as watchmen are called of the Lord to watch for His people. If you are a believer, you are called. Everyone is called to do this. If you choose not to, that's your own prerogative to choose not to. But the Scripture tells us that we are called to do that, to pray, to warn, to love, to encourage the Jewish people. Some of you may work for Jewish people. You may know Jewish people. Well, that doesn't mean you go around knocking them on the head and say they have to receive Yeshua. If somebody had done that to me, I probably wouldn't be here today preaching to you. Amen? That's the Holy Spirit's job. Your job is to love them. Your job is to pray for them. And pray that their heart turn back to their God. I mean, one of the problems with the Jewish people is that they get so distracted by the things of the world, especially in America. Let's go to Isaiah 49. And this is a key scripture for Gentile believers, and I've given you this before, but I'd like to share it once more. Isaiah 49 and verse 22. It says, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and the Gentiles shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. This is a mandate to the church, or the believers in Messiah, to help Jewish people make aliyah to go back to Israel. Well, you say, well, I don't have any money. Well, then pray for them. But if you do have money, you can help with that, bringing them back, help with humanitarian aid. The church is called to do that. And you say, well, I don't believe that. I don't really understand that. Well, I think we need to take a brief little journey, and I won't have time to really give you everything I'd like to in this, but I think we need to understand this, and let's go to Romans 11, and let's look at the Apostle Paul and what he says to the Gentile believers in Rome. And I would highly recommend that you read Romans 9, 10, and 11 so you understand this fully. If you are a Gentile believer in Messiah. And in Romans 11, the Apostle Paul, who is a very devout Jewish man, he's speaking in verse 1, he says, I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's saying, listen, I'm proof. I'm from a real religious tribe. You know, I'm a real religious background, I mean. The tribe of Benjamin also. But here, God hasn't cast away his people, because here I am. And I can tell you, here I am, hallelujah. God has not cast away his people. So if you've been taught, if you're listening or watching, that the church has replaced Israel, now that is the biggest deception out there. And that is one of the things I said in the beginning, deception is what comes in the end times. And you need to study the whole chapter of Romans 11. And going down to verse 11 of chapter 11, he says again, I say then, have the Jews stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now let's stop there a minute. Jealousy doesn't mean that you try to proselytize them. Again, I say that's the Holy Spirit's job, and I don't say that you shouldn't witness to them. That's fine. But basically, the way you provoke someone to jealousy is by the love you have for them. If you walk around with tremendous love and you have tremendous prosperity and you walk in health, they're going to want to know what's going on with you. What do you have? But most of the church has not done that. They have actually not loved the Jewish people, but they've provoked the Jewish people. You study history and you see that in all the things that have happened with the Inquisition, the Crusades, the Holocaust, and on and on and on. And with replacement theology, even what we have today, where people believe the church replaces the Jewish people. God has done away with them. Well, he's telling you here, God hasn't done away. And this is in the New Testament. All right? This is not the Old Testament. So if anybody preaches to you that, and if you are in a church and you don't know what your leadership believes, your pastor or your leader, I tell you right now, you need to find out. Because if they do not love the Jewish people in Israel, you need to run out of there as fast as you can. Because it's not lining up with the Word of God. Verse 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Now, we will not see the revival that we believe for until the Jewish people come back to their God and they come to the knowledge of the Messiah. That is the real revival. That's what this is saying. All right? And then we go on, and I won't get into the whole thing because of time, but basically, well, let's just read this real quick. It says, for if the first fruit be holy, verse 16, the lump is holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Talking about the Jewish people. And if some of the branches, some of the Jews were broken off, and you, a Gentile, being a wild olive tree, are grafted in among them, and with them partaking of the root, the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root you. You will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. In other words, I'm a Gentile and I'm grafted in. So they're gone, you know. But now he's given you a warning. Verse 20. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not you. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity toward thee, goodness if you continue in your goodness. Otherwise, you also shall be cut off. It's giving a warning to believers that they could be cut off also. Now let me just go on here and let's go to verse, well, we read verse 25, but let's read it again. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now we studied that verse already. to some degree. There's a lot more to say about it, but we, for sake of time, we can't. And so all Israel shall be saved, and that's the second coming of the Lord, what we're talking about here, verse 26. And as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Where is he coming out of? Israel. Zion here does not mean the church. He's going to come out of Israel. And he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant to them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Verse 29. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Right here, it's telling you God has not done away with the Jewish people. The gifts and calling, it's referring to the Hebrew people. Not, you want to take the scripture, that's okay, and use it for gifts that you have. But it's referring to the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. For as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. God is telling us that through our mercy in the body of Messiah, they will obtain mercy. How is that? Through our prayers, through our financial help, through our supporting them, through our loving them. Let's go quickly to Psalm 122. Now, if you don't know this psalm, you need to know it. And for sake of time, we'll only read one scripture or two here. But this is the psalm that talks about praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It changes not. So this psalm is still here for today. All right? And it talks about going to the house of the Lord. And verse 2 talks about our feet shall stand within your gates, O Jerusalem. All right? And it says that we're all going up to Jerusalem. Verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love you. Peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For my brethren companions' sake, I will now say peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now, if you love the Lord your God, you're going to seek the good for Jerusalem. And you're going to pray for the peace. That word pray means to ask for, inquire. In other words, find out what's happening in Israel. Listen to the news. Find out, is there bombings? What's going on there? Get involved. Get involved in a place that's praying for Israel. That's what God wants you to do as you're listening and watching. If you're listening and you want to get involved with us, you can write us. You can email us, and we will get you how to pray for Israel on an actually week-to-week basis. Because we get input every week on what's going on. And that's what God is saying. You ask and inquire about what's going on there, because this is the house of the Lord our God. Quickly go to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. There's so much to share on this and so little time, but this is a key point, and we have to tie it in with all of the Watchman classes that we've had. Isaiah 2 and verse 2 and 3 says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, that is Israel, out of Israel shall go forth the teachings and the word of the Lord from where? Jerusalem. Not from the Vatican or any other place. So it's imperative for believers everywhere to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's not just an insignificant small city in the Middle East. It's a city of eternal significance. It is God's city. It is his resting place forever. It is the place that Messiah Yeshua, his throne is going to be. And he's going to sit there. Ezekiel 43:7. Just write this scripture down. We're not going to go there. It says, this is the place of my throne. and the place for the soles of my feet. This is where I will live among the Israelites forever. If you love Jesus, Yeshua, you have to love the Jewish people and you have to love Israel. Or you can't say you love God. Jesus, it says, this is where he's going to live forever. The place of his throne. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 2. And this is a scripture I've given you, and it's a key, another key. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after the glory has he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. He's talking about nations that have come against Israel. For he that touches you touches the apple of God's eye. The apple is the pupil, and a pupil is the center or place of your sight. He is saying that the Jewish people and Israel is the center, the heart of God. And so if we want to be close to the heart of God, we have to be close to what's in God's heart. Yes, nations are close to God's heart. Yes, salvation is close to God's heart. But it all ties into Israel and the Jewish people. Without them, we wouldn't even have a Bible. And Messiah is not going to come back until Scripture is fulfilled. God is faithful to his word, and he is expecting us to help the Scripture to be fulfilled. Now is the time for watchmen to arise and take their post and watch on the walls of Jerusalem. If you live in Amsterdam, it doesn't matter. If you live in Italy, it doesn't matter. If you live in America, in some city, it doesn't matter. You cannot be silent, nor shall you have any rest until God establishes Jerusalem to be a praise in the earth. Praying for the heart of the people, praying for the government, coming against terrorism. I mean, you can write us if you're listening and we will give you how to pray. Pray scriptures, that's a key. Remind God of his word. And as we close, let's look at what God gave us for Watchman School of Prayer. What did he tell us? This scripture is not just for our lives. This scripture is depicting watchmen in the end times. Watchmen in the end times, which is now. That's going to stand for Israel. That's going to stand watching, getting rid of the ambushes that are going to do this, that are going to set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Watching what's going on in the world, how the nations are going to turn against Israel, and how they're going to one by one come against Israel. We are to watch that. Babylon has to do with that. We are to make the watch strong. That's what God is calling us to do in this hour. And I pray that those of you that are watching and listening, and everyone that is here, that you take hold of every class that we've had, use it for your own life, but then go further and become the watchman on the walls so that God's word can be fulfilled, so that Messiah Yeshua can come back and sit on the throne in his land and his